Please and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, beginning with verse 23 and going through verse 6 of chapter 3. Mark 2, 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. Pastor Steve has been very excellently leading us through this particular book, looking at Jesus and following Jesus as he has moved forward in his ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus inaugurates his ministry with the words, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And immediately Jesus began to unveil his authority, first of all, over demons, and then over disease, and over sickness. And now today we will see him exercising his authority over Sabbath. So Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, and I would like to invite you to stand in honor of this God's holy word. I'll be reading from the New International Version, the most recent edition. "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and the man was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill him. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Now, Father, we ask that you would be gracious and by your Spirit teach us your word. What is it that you want us to know? What is it that you want us to hear? And how is it you want us to change? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Descending the steps of my grandparents' basement, I was surprised when I looked across the basement and saw my grandmother kneeling down in an old crummy, what I considered crummy house dress, leaning over a wooden tub with a washboard and a stack of clothes. I said, "Grandmother, what are you doing?" "Well, can you not see?" she said. "I'm washing all these clothes. I have so much to do." "But Grandmother," I responded, "Grandfather bought you a beautiful wringer washer. the latest model at Christmas. He was so excited about that to save you lots of time. Oh, I know, she said. I tried it once and it tried to bite my fingers off. It should be outlawed. This is the real way that you get clothes clean, using the old tried and true method and sticking to it. Sabbath practice has its origin as far back as creation itself. The one day in seven, when God himself, after 6 days of creating, took one day to rest. So important was this principle that it was encoded in the Ten Commandments, commandment number 4, not one of the shorter ones, but rather elaborately explained that there should be, after 6 days, one day of rest. It was actually God's gift to mankind, humankind, that after 6 days of labor, we should rest, a gift to us. The Israelite leaders, however, decided to take this gift, this command, and complicate it greatly. They gave about 39 rules regarding the practice of Sabbath, that one day in seven. So much so that it became almost like a prison to them, watching everything they did, 39 prohibitions about the Sabbath. As time went on, and Christianity came into being, and the Lord's Day became that one day in seven, history tells us that even those individuals began to take this day of liberation and complicate it as well, so that some of us may even be able to remember some of those days when there were such things as no Sunday newspaper to read if you were going to be a true Jesus follower and a practicer of the Sabbath, no radio listening, no TV watching, no ball playing of any kind, no hobby if you had one. I remember asking my junior high Sunday school teacher, is there a rule of thumb about what to do and what not to do? And she said, with tongue in cheek, I think, if it's fun, you don't do it. Now, we in the 21st century have been liberated, or have we been, from all of that. Because now, for even believers, we find ourselves practicing Sunday, the Lord's Day, like any other day, so that we make it a day for extra things, whether it's another Saturday, or we need some repair work done on our house or our car, or we need to engage in some other special activity, and so Sunday becomes for us just an excess day. All in the face of the fact that God gave us this one day in seven as a gift for us, a gift for liberty, a gift to help us, a gift to refresh us, a gift to set us free, and not a day to use as some kind of overflow day and make it our day for extra things to do. A few years ago, some Christian group, evangelical group, did a survey and discovered that regular attendance for the Jesus follower now is just two Sundays out of four to be in the house of the Lord, because we use it for so many other things. Jesus desired to put Sabbath in its place. Not only for the Jews, not only for the first century people of God, but for us today, that he would put it in its place and give it to us as a gift. The Lord's Day, the one day in seven, the Sabbath is a gift to you and me. It is something to liberate us and give us freedom and to give us blessing. Jesus gave the Sabbath and put the Sabbath in its place, first of all, for personal renewal. We look first at our text in verses 23 to 26. And we see that Jesus is making his way through a grain field. Five of his disciples were with him. Five, because as we go back through Mark, that's how many he had recruited by this time. He had recruited Peter and Andrew, James and John, and Levi. These five disciples were going along with Jesus through the grain field. And Matthew tells us the disciples got hungry. Now, the word hungry in the book of Matthew is not a simple idea of being hungry, the way I get midway through an evening and I would like a bowl of ice cream and I go get a bowl of ice cream. Not that kind. But actually, the word for hunger there in Matthew is a ravenous hunger, starving, famished. Now, why they were so hungry at that point, I'm not sure. The text doesn't say. Whether they were having a long day, maybe they didn't have breakfast, maybe Jesus was teaching and taking them different places. It was a Sabbath, so they had probably been in the synagogue, and maybe the service went extra long. Maybe the preacher had a hard time coming in for a landing, which, by the way, is a nightmare I commonly have. So far, it's never been a reality. But so many times I'm preaching and I can't get stopped. So I hope it never comes true. Anyway. Why they were that way, I'm not sure, but they began to reach out and take grains of the field, rub it in their hands, and pop the kernels into their mouth. Now, there was nothing improper about that. That was permitted according to Deuteronomy 23:25. If there were individuals going through a grain field, they were hungry, they could reach out and take some of the grain and they could eat it. What was illegal was for them to have a sickle in their back pocket and begin to reap some of it. That was illegal, but by hand they could do that. But while they were doing that, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Pharisees appeared, and shouted out to Jesus and said, "What they are doing is illegal. It's unlawful. Why are you permitting them to do what is unlawful?" I'm sure the five disciples, new to the following of Jesus, must have quickly covered their mouth because the temple police caught them. Jesus, however, responded by saying, "Don't you remember reading in 1 Samuel 21? He didn't say 1 Samuel 21, but that's where it is. The story about David and his companions, when they were very hungry, they went to the tabernacle at Nob, and they went to the priest and said, 'Give us something to eat.' And the priest said, 'All I have is the consecrated bread.'" This is the bread that had been placed on the show bread table and then was used Later, after 7 days, it was put aside, and only the priests could eat it. So only priests could eat it. Yet they partook of it because the priest gave it to them during the reign of Abiathar. It was actually another priest that gave it, but during his reign. And then David said, what about a weapon? Do you have a weapon for us? And the priest said, the only one I have is the sword of Goliath. And David said, that's good enough. Give it to me. And David and his group left, having been nourished and fitted with weaponry. And Jesus was clearly hinting to the Pharisees that through the years, no teacher of the law had ever criticized or judged David for that activity. And then Jesus went on to say, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Lord, the Son of Man, is Lord even of the Sabbath. And so David and his men had gone into that tabernacle, and there they found nourishment and weaponry for life. May I say to you, my brothers and sisters, God has given to you and me Sabbath, a day that set apart for you and me to go into that tabernacle to find nourishment and weaponry so we can face the issues of life. If we shortcut that, if we ignore it, if we rush through and make it any other time and any other focus, then you and I are on our own to face the challenges of life. But Jesus has, and God has, in his tabernacle of the Sabbath, that which will give us nourishment and weaponry for life. So the call to us is that you and I will remember the Sabbath, that we will carve out that time that we can give to the worship and surrender and focus upon God. Now, ideally, Sunday is a good day because it's already established in many places for people to have work off that day, and other activities are usually not around. But maybe that doesn't work for you for one reason or another. Maybe you need to work that day or you have some other responsibilities. I want to tell you that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul seems to suggest, let's not get hung up on the day, but rather let us realize that the day is not the rule. Jesus is the rule, always the rule. But taking time separate from other time gives us the margin that we need to focus upon him, to wait upon him for that particular day. Otherwise, we get numb in our life, we get involved in routine, we get overwhelmed with things, and we miss the gift that God has given to you and me. Because in the gift of focus upon Sabbath, we do find refreshment and renewal for what we have in life. It gives us physical rest and emotional rest. When we take some time of the day, whether it is a season, a day, an afternoon, or an hour, and we don't have to restrict ourselves to one particular day, we can take parts of day or other days, and we can say, Thursday afternoon is going to be my Sabbath. Or we can take a couple of days some other time, those are going to be my Sabbath, and they are good for us to find rest, physical rest and emotional rest, so that during that time, we may take a slow walk, we may take a hike, we may spend time observing the beauty that God has given to us in his creation, or we miss so much of it. we may take the time in order to listen to music, or if we play a musical instrument, to play it, and to be refreshed in devotional reading and listen to what God has for us, taking the time, slowing down. The word Sabbath includes in it to simply stop, because we never finish a lot of our work. If we wait until we finish, we might never take a Sabbath. So Sabbath means stop. It's like taking that proverbial jar of rocks and dumping it out and refilling it with the big rocks, and the big rock, that of Sabbath in your life and my life. That we don't include it in with everything else, but we put it in first, that we build it in our life to find communion and refreshment with ourselves and with God. Physically finding refreshment and renewal. It's hard to find Sabbath sometimes, even on a Sunday. We get our days filled with so many things that we may say, well, Sunday afternoon we're going to do it, but then we have some things come up. But Sabbath involves simply stop, pause. It's like the word Selah, stop and think about your life and your day and spend it in some kind of renewal, rest, and reflection. Please don't lose this, my brothers and sisters. This is a gift from God from the very beginning of time and repeated over and over and over again. And to ignore it is the reason so many people are worn out, strung out, and can hardly think straight and are numb in their feelings. So, rest. Sabbath rest. But Sabbath also tells us, even in the fourth commandment, that we are to include in it as well the issue that it is a holy day. That means it is a day to give to God, a time to give to God, for us to give ourselves to God. You notice the text, what Jesus said. Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see, on my Sabbath, I am not Lord. He is Lord. On your Sabbath, you are not Lord. He is Lord. So we yield to Him. We wait to Him. We wait upon Him. We take time during our Sabbath to pray, to read His word, to reflect, to ask Him to teach us and align us with what He has for us, that He might instruct us and teach us and fill us and renew us. Oh, my friends, do not ignore and lose out on this wonderful gift that God has given to us, the gift of Sabbath. It ought never to be a prison. It ought never to be a burden. It was given to lift us, to encourage us, the Sabbath day, to make it holy, to root ourselves in Him, to allow ourselves the time. And again, I know there will be many times in which you say, wow, I have this work project and I have to have it due Monday morning. I need it done. Stop anyway. Quit. And enjoy what God has given to us. Enjoy the refreshment, physically, emotionally. You will be surprised, if you haven't already in this practice, that after you go through your Sabbath time, whether it's a day, an afternoon, or an hour, some people just, in addition to their day, decide to take an hour of Sabbath, that mountain will seem like a molehill. That tremendous, overwhelming impossibility won't seem like much at all now, because You have come to God. God's come to you and given you light, and you align yourself with him. Indeed, Jesus puts Sabbath in its place for your personal renewal and my personal renewal. Don't miss it. Don't shortcut it. Don't avoid it. Plan times. Whether it's Sunday or in addition, other times in the week. I have friends who take 2 or 3 days every quarter as a special Sabbath, where those 2 or 3 days they'll read certain books that they've been wanting to about prayer or spiritual deepening, to just wait upon the Lord, to seek instruction and renewal of what he has to say. Oh, it's a wonderful gift that God has given to us. It's a unique gift that he gives to us, to you and me. But he also puts Sabbath in its place for compassion renewal. When we look at verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3, we find Jesus in the synagogue once again. There he is, standing at the front, probably getting ready to teach. But we also find in that synagogue a man with a shriveled hand, paralyzed hand. There, Jesus certainly observed him. Jesus was a man full of compassion. He does not miss hurt. He doesn't miss any hurt here this morning. He is with us. He looks in our life. Any of us who are hurting, he knows all about the hurt. He does not miss it. He didn't miss it in this gentleman with a shriveled hand. Luke tells us it was his right hand. Of course, Dr. Luke was a physician. Nothing missed his observation. Tradition tells us the man was actually a stonemason, and the injury that came to him was a work accident. No workers' compensation in that day, no insurance at that time. Nobody to come along and provide him some extra income to cover him. He was on his own. His right hand. He must have sat there wondering, what's my future? I can't work anymore. How am I going to have money? Looking across the aisle to his wife and family, how am I going to support them? He must have been discouraged, depressed. Jesus must have seen all that, if those were the things going through that gentleman's mind. And so out of his love and compassion, Jesus looked at the man and said, "Sir, I want you to come right up here to the front." But there were other people there. There were a group of Pharisees who were sitting in the seats of honor. The seats of honor were the front, what we would consider the front pews. And they were there seated. But many of them were not there to worship. They were there with a critical spirit to look to see what Jesus might do wrong. They didn't care about the man with a shriveled hand who lost his ability to work for the rest of his life. They cared more about the T's being crossed and I's being dotted and this Jesus, what he was going to do. And so after calling the man up, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, "Which is better, to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Which is better, to give life or to kill?" He looked at those men, and those men looked straight ahead. Not a hint of any compassion for this gentleman standing in front of them. And so Jesus, with mixed feeling of anger and sorrow for them, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man did, and immediately his hand was completely restored, just like the other one. The Pharisees were so angry they got up as a group and stormed out and went on with their plotting about how they could kill Jesus. I'm a firm believer that Sabbath practice involves community, worshiping with other believers. Again, Sunday provides us with that perfect opportunity as we can be together in God's house together as the people of God. For in that context, we can not only seek God and find Him together and hear Him, but together we can minister to one another. There's opportunity for compassion. Because you know as well as I do, in any group of people our size, there are people who are in trouble. People who are worried, people who are weak, who are feeling pain, who are discouraged, who are facing financial issues, family issues, children that are prodigals, disease or illness, which are very scary, to the point that they're sitting around us with worries running around their head like gnats, and they're trying to focus. And may God give us the ability to see, to extend compassion to those people. For in this context, we have the opportunity, as Jesus did, to extend compassion. Not like the Pharisees who cared very little. Not at all. A few years ago, I had a friend come to me and tell me that God had done a work in his heart so that he was going to church differently now. Oh, I said, in what way? Well, I'm still going to church to look for God and listen to him and align my heart. But you know, when I used to go to church, wondering if people would talk to me, encourage me, and hear my stories about what was happening in my life. No more. Now, I'm on a mission when I go to church. I'm on a mission to look for the hurting, disenfranchised, and heartbroken people around me, that I might see them. In fact, I pray, Lord, lead me to the brokenhearted today, that I might encourage them and lift their spirits and pray for them when they are in need in that way, so that I can be a blessing to them and help them in the time of need. Jesus said, Sabbath is for man, that you and I might exercise the blessing of Sabbath to those around us. It's a gift. Linda and I have an extended family member who has a rather odd habit of not liking to open Christmas gifts when he receives them. And so each Christmas, when we hand him a Christmas gift, he just doesn't open it. Despite our cajoling and despite our hinting and encouraging, he just doesn't open it. One year, he left it behind. It had fallen back behind the couch, and he never said anything, and we found it later. Another year, we were visiting in his home, and I saw it sitting on the dresser of the spare room. Now, that's rather hurtful to Linda and me. I don't know how you would feel about that, but we feel kind of bad about that because we usually think hard about what to give him. We'd like to see him open it, but he doesn't. God has given to you and me the gift of Sabbath. He hands it to us. It's for our good. It's for our blessing. It renews us personally. It allows us to become sharper in the area of compassion, understanding. Are we opening it? using it and applying it to our life. Jesus said, Sabbath is for man, and I am the Lord of the Sabbath. My friends, just as the man with the crippled hand responded to the invitation to stretch out his hand and find it whole, I invite us, stretch out our hand and find wholeness in the glory and the blessing of this gift, the Sabbath. Let's pray.